Coming to you from the HagmanReport.com studio, located in the Keystone State, birthplace of a mighty nation, it's your host, Doug Hagman.
This is the Hagman Report for today. It's Tuesday, June 9th, 2020, and I want to welcome everyone to this episode, this edition of the Hagman Report, where truth can't be silenced. That's right, where truth can't be silenced, more than just a slogan. We live by that axiom. We live by that adage. A few things, headlines. Here's the show today. Let me lay this show out for you today. This can be a deep show, all right? I'm reclaiming the front part of this show as my own. I've been following a lot of investigations into the deeper aspects of the riots. In other words, what we're seeing, not so much the academic aspect of Marxism and communism through the eyes of Marx and Gramsci and stuff like that, but the individuals, organizations and people involved at the street level and higher. So you've got the Bill Ayers types, for example, Bernadine Dorn types, the old Weather Underground, refined, redone, 2.0. Who are these people? Where are these people? And who are they giving orders to? For example, what you see on your TV set, or what you see on video clips from Twitter or Instagram or whatever it might be, of the riots, of the looting, of the menace that is this false, fictitious narrative of what started all of this. The police officer who knelt on the neck of George Floyd for 8 minutes and 46 seconds. And how did that all come about? And isn't that rather convenient? Well, Millennial Millie had done a marvelous expose. I don't know how many people have seen this. Working from that, it's easy to dig down. I mean, believe me, she's got just a ton of information. Much hasn't been seen yet. But from the initial expose, which was done yesterday, we can actually break this down a little bit more. Because remember, and I think back to when I was doing my morning radio show, I was talking about things like this in detail at the granular level. And at the time, I spent a lot of time talking about the deep state in terms of the intelligence agencies working against President Trump in an attempt to take him down. Especially, and think about this, when was that thrust really at its apex to take Donald Trump down? Was it during the Mueller investigation? Not really. The Mueller investigation was more of a punctuation mark than the attempt itself. The real attempt to take him down, to take Donald Trump down, was really before the election. Now, again, I ask you to follow this hour closely, because I think you're going to see some answers. You're going to find answers in this. And I think if I walk you through this in the form of an investigation, I think you're going to see, well, wow, this does kind of make sense now, how all of this played out. It continues to play out. So from the history part of this, we can deduce, reason with some level of intellectual certainty where this is headed. Because right now you've got these nonsensical ideas where we're going to dismantle the police, Minneapolis. Well, okay. Well, look at Minnesota. Look at what's going on there, specifically the Twin Cities and specifically Minneapolis. But look at the state as a whole. Look at the governor and who's supporting that governor. Look at the Minneapolis mayor, that frog. I don't even know what to call him. I happen to catch Coach used to be one of my favorite programs. Eric the Tech, you remember Coach?
Yeah, I watched it as a kid with my parents.
As a kid, boy, that makes me feel old. I am old now. But anyway, last night on one of the over-the-air antenna channels, Coach met Kelly's boyfriend for the first time. It was like the fourth episode of the first season. Stuart. Okay. And it was funny because Stuart was this soy boy. I mean, the two coaches, you know, red meat, muscle kind of thing. And the reason I bring this up is because that character reminds me of the mayor of Minneapolis, Jacob Fry. I don't know. Maybe I just kind of went off on a tangent there, but it was fun nonetheless to watch that again. That it was back in 1989. But think about the cultural impact, the impact on our culture that scenes like that, episodes like that, shows like that. Think about how that has really critically made many of the men in this country not men anymore. Anyway, that's a digression. Okay, so but looking at this, and I'm going to take you through this step by step, methodically. So at the end of this hour, I think you'll have a good idea again of where we're headed. And there was one unexpected. Well, I shouldn't say unexpected. Unexpectedly publicized part of everything that's going on that I thought was really on the money. All right. And this comes from InfoWars. Now, the aspect that again, I've talked about, I've mentioned Steve Quayle and myself. We've discussed the spiritual component here, but what about the ritualistic component? I was talking to Russ and Dr. Michael Lake. I've talked to, you know, all of these people and understand there is a religious, and when I say religious, I'm talking about a, satanic, demonic worship going on here. It's not just the spirit of Satan unleashed. This is an actual witches casting spells, and they've admitted, we cast spells against the president. We cast spells against our enemies. Russ Dizdar has been the target, and others have been the target of these spells. And it doesn't matter if you don't believe it. It doesn't matter if you don't believe in any of that, if you think that's bunk. Belief is the driver of action, and if they believe it, that's what's important, that they believe in this. To my surprise and delight, there was a video that came out that focused on this. That was on InfoWars. I think it was yesterday. Let's play this clip. And again, this is just isolating the spiritual component only to let everyone know, yes, active witchcraft, active rituals, active satanic works of satanic work being done. And so when you talk to your family and you say, hey, this is really of the demonic, rooted in things like Santeria, for example, or just plain witch or voodoo or witchcraft, whatever. This shows it. This proves it. So that this will isolate the religious slash spiritual component, because witchcraft is a religion. You know, Satanism is a religion and it's a spiritual driver. All right. It's both a motive and a means in their eyes, or it's the Well, I suppose that we can let that statement stand. All right, let's play the first video here. This is several minutes long. I may or may not interrupt. I kind of want to see this through. So go ahead and let's start this.
Indeed, this trend has become an increasing trend, so much so that The Atlantic referred to the article as, quote, "The Witches of Baltimore," describing how increasingly within parts of the sort of neo-Marxist African-American political tradition and other political traditions are increasingly involved in various kinds of what others would be seen as witchcraft. Tonight we're going to be discussing the witchcraft of the riots. If you look at some of the headlines from this weekend, you find stories like this one from the Chicago Sun-Times. 85 shot, 24 fatally over Chicago's most violent weekend yet. Maybe that had something to do with police wanting to have the Ferguson effect of backing off of interventions while the violence and the looting and the gang and the criminal activity accelerates and escalates.
All right. If
indeed,
I can just,
in that same
just pause that just
context,
for a second.
You see headlines.
Okay. If I can just interrupt this and just keep it right there. Understand those numbers. We have not, Chicago has not seen those numbers since 1992. 30 years. Maybe later than that. It's been 30 years since we saw those numbers. Now consider what a city like Minneapolis would look like without a functional police department, a dismantled police department. All right. Just, and think about though, it, more importantly, as you watch this, think about those pushing this. And also when you hear witchcraft, when you hear these beliefs, I want you to also think Green New Deal. I want you to think about the earth worshipers, Gaia worshipers. All right. Keep that in the back of your mind because this is all going to make sense. Go ahead.
D.A. Vance from New York City, Manhattan, declining to prosecute anyone arrested during the various rioting and looting activity that has taken place. In the same context, in fact, you had that headline from prosecutors in St. Louis, Missouri. You had it from police captains and police chiefs in Dallas, Texas. You had it in a range of cities, counties, and states across the country to the degree that Minneapolis is now announcing it is going to disband its entire city police department. That's right. The BLM agenda of defund the police has now become an actual public policy recommendation and proposal in a major city in America. They have not exactly explained what it is that's supposed to replace it beyond suggesting that merely calling 911 might be a sign of white privilege. That is the status of where things exist. You might think they were the product of some kind of witchcraft to see this sort of insanity and criminality seize our cities. In fact, there were riots in Brussels and Belgium. There were riots in London. There were riots in Paris. There was violence all across the world in some shape or form connected to these events and connected to these groups and connected to these mantras. In fact, including in London itself, where more than 27 officers were injured just this weekend in what the BBC still called mostly peaceful protests, despite all of those people getting injured and hurt. They were even throwing rocks at horses and knocking people off that caused major damage. CNN changed the headline to "Horse Goes Crazy at Local Protest." That is the kind of media coverage that has taken place in what looks like something that only could be brought up in a sort of in a witch's maelstrom. Well, in that context, in this case, there's actually a literal connection to some of this behavior and some of this conduct and some of the witchcraft, if you will. Take, for example, the Wikipedia entry for one of the co-founders of Black Lives Matter, the group, Patrice Couleurs. She's identified as a co-founder of Black Lives Matter. In fact, in some contexts, she's defined as and described as the founder of Black Lives Matter. And what's interesting is something that is later on in the Wikipedia entry that you'll see occasionally pop up in news stories about several of the co-founders of BLM. It's that she developed an interest in the Nigerian religious tradition of Ifa, incorporating its rituals into political protest events and trying to tap its quote-unquote spirituality to influence these political protest events. Well, what exactly is the Ifa tradition? Well, Ifa stems from the Yoruba religious tradition of Western Africa, which is, in fact, partially the foundation for things like Santeria, and as we know it more popularly here, voodoo. That's some of the ideological and intellectual strains and ancestry of the Ifo religious tradition. Indeed, in this article called African Spirituality Now, it describes it as witchcraft, divination, and healing. They even have a Yoruba word for witch, Aye, in which they sometimes call them elders or mothers. Indeed, it's like a scene out of the film from Angel Heart, as we'll show right here.
To avoid a copyright strike, I'm going to just talk over this, talk over the music. And for those people who are listening to this as opposed to watching this, this what you're seeing is a, a ritualistic dance. A chicken in one hand, a knife in the other, and it's pretty bloody. There you go. You know, sacrificing chickens. And again, understand this in the context. And then, of course, you've got the individual who did the sacrifice of this chicken, rubbing the chicken's blood all over her body. Well, what does this signify? It signifies, obviously, sacrifice, but it's deeper than that. Again, remember, belief is the driver of action. So hopefully that, you know, copyright strike, who knows? But nonetheless, there is this being shown as what at the very least, the one of the co-founders of Black Lives Matter, at least what she believes, and Patrice Cullors, that's her name, and of course you've got Alicia Garza and Opal Tometi.
The African Spirituality article details many systems of what they call divination, and divination has another word in some contexts, otherwise called witchcraft by many. Of the many systems of divination used by the Yoruba, the most important is Ifa. So Ifa is what the Black Lives Matter co-founders described as being deeply part of and finds her spirituality from and uses, in her own words, to influence her political protest movements and activities. Yoruba magical techniques and rites are prescribed by the various forms of activities in their religious tradition. And in fact, the Yoruba word Ogun refers to either magic or medicine. It's seen as indistinguishable and exchangeable with any other. So you actually have someone, now you might have a guess as to why BLM does not have tight ties to the Black Protestant Church or the Nation of Islam when its co-founders are deeply involved in religious traditions that have connections to things like voodoo and Santeria. Indeed, this trend has become an increasing trend, so much so that The Atlantic referred to the article as, quote, the witches of Baltimore, describing how increasingly within parts of the sort of neo-Marxist African-American political tradition and other political traditions are increasingly involved in various kinds of what others would be seen as witchcraft. Indeed, from this article, modern black witches are practicing Yoruba-based faith with a few millennial touches. Describes it how its connections to Santeria, to Candomblé, to Voodoo, to all of the other various branches of the Yoruba-based religious traditions. But this gives you an idea. Many black witches, nervous about practicing witchcraft openly, feel more comfortable meeting online than in person. Indeed, you'd have to wonder whether the co-founders of Black Lives Matter, who knew each other before they started it and created it, there has been discussions in some parts of public media space that several of them have been deeply involved in this tradition. So you have the possibility of actual witches involved in running Black Lives Matter. That's how insane the world has become. In that same capacity, if we look at, that might help explain not only the kind of conduct that has been taking place, the kind of result you might expect when people decide to use their witchcraft to influence political protest, but it also explains either the lack of an agenda or where there has been an agenda, the radical destabilizing characteristics of that agenda. Indeed, if you go back to the 2016, where Black Lives Matter released its policy agenda, many of it are things like calling for collective employment, collective means of ownership, basically neo-Marxist solutions. Indeed, they say, quote, we seek radical transformation. And their goal was to have radical results as a consequence. This is why you don't see calls for simple civil rights solutions. This may also explain why the black business class is generally not involved in Black Lives Matter, because there's an anti-capitalist tendency within the neo-Marxist influences of the movement. Now, they're happy to take donations from big corporations and billionaires, but that doesn't stop or limit or constrict their desire to completely undo the American experiment. They see issues of race and issues of police as a pretext to take apart America and all of its institutions, not as a means of substantive reform that can improve everybody's agenda within the infrastructure or system that we have. Of course, Americans don't want to defund police.
Okay, you can indeed stop right there. You get the idea. And what that last part was about, they don't want to have dialogue. And that is so critically important, because understand how where did Black Lives Matter come from? How long, who started it? What is Black Lives Matter? You see, obviously, BLM, Black Lives Matter, you see that everywhere, but what started that? You have to go back to 2013. It was established as an online platform by Patrice Cullors, who we spoke about, Alicia Garza, and Opal Tometi. Now, the objective was to enrage the black community here in America, and to lay out the fact that there was white supremacy. They talked about institutional racism, white supremacy. It's killing blacks, and it goes on and on from there. But it was initially done using the social networking platforms. Now it's far beyond that. It's now become this cause celeb in the streets. And notice, along with Black Lives Matter, you see a lot of the communist symbology, the fist with, you know, the black fist and such, black power, communism, and so on. This again, Black Lives Matter was formed against the backdrop of things like it was in response to the acquittal of George Zimmerman and the Trayvon Martin shooting and such. Okay, so again, that's the backdrop. But the individuals, the three I named, Alicia Garza, Patrice Cullors, and Opal Tometi, they were the spark that ignited this. Now, from there, they enlisted other groups. And by the way, when this organization began, as I mentioned at the end of that video, they don't want dialogue. They want destruction. That's what they're after. There is no such thing as dialogue. If, in fact, you can go on the internet and you can see numerous videos. I didn't take any to play right now because it's just redundant. Numerous videos of white people, including members of the National Guard and members of the police, taking a knee or falling on their face, submitting, as we talked about and have been talking about, to these individuals who are their masters. Now, you're talking about a cult here, in addition to this political organization. This is a cult. And again, think of the Green New Deal. Now hold on. I want to just continue with Black Lives Matter just for a moment, because the Black Lives Matter organization, they profess to spell out the needs and grievances and need for reparations of the entirety of the black community here in America. And they want to go far beyond any kind of narrow nationalism, address any of those aspects. They are the most radical of the bunch and most visibly radical of the bunch. Now, they issued a series of non-negotiable demands, which include, now here are the demands. This is right from the charter of Black Lives Matter. Listen to this, because it's either this or nothing for them. There is no dialogue. An end to all forms of discrimination and the full recognition of our, meaning blacks, human rights. An immediate end to police brutality. End to the murder of black people and all oppressed people. Worldwide, by the way. Full living wage employment for our people, meaning minority. In other words, it doesn't matter. We want full living wage. But they don't specifically say what kind of, you know, how that's going to be assessed. It's as if the black community is being oppressed by the minimum wage, which now you've got the minimum wage standard increase folded into this. A full living wage for employment of our people, as I mentioned, decent housing, and an end to gentrification. Very important, because now you're looking at this tribalistic form of agenda here. An end to the school-to-prison pipeline. Well, what does that mean? That's the term for the practice of using black students' behavioral problems as simply an excuse for pushing them from out of the classroom and into the juvenile and criminal justice systems, which, when you look at the statistics, yes, there's an above average number of blacks going from coming out of the school system and getting into the criminal justice system, but there are different reasons for that, none of which are expressed or articulated by Black Lives Matter with any degree of accuracy. They want quality education for all, which seems on its face, oh my goodness, that's really a good thing. Who doesn't want quality education? But it's quality indoctrination is what they want. And they want free schooling. Free schooling. Did you hear that? Free higher level education. Access to affordable, healthy food. What does that even mean? Okay. An aggressive attack against all laws, all policies, and entities that disenfranchise any community from expressing themselves at the ballot box. In other words, eliminate all forms of voter identification. You see where this is headed? The release of all U.S. political prisoners. Okay. So, let's see. You can see what that is. In other words, if you're black and you're in prison, you're a political prisoner, you got to release the prisoners. And isn't it interesting? What did we see during the lockdown, the COVID-19? And it hurts me to even say that, lockdown. Hey, we got to release some prisoners. Yeah, we'll throw some killers out there to make room for those people who, this wasn't said, but to make room for the people who are breaking the laws by opening their own businesses. All right. An end to the military-industrial complex that incentivizes private corporations to profit off the death and destruction of black and brown communities across the globe. As if they're the only ones doing it! As if they're the only victims. Oh, and it gets better. This next half, we're going to take a look now at the granular level aspects of what you saw over the last couple of weeks. Gonna be right back. You're listening to the Hagmann Report, where truth can't be silenced. Stay with me.
Reporting on what the mainstream media won't. You're listening to the Hagmann and Hagmann Report on the Global Star Radio Network.
Welcome back to this segment of the Hagmann Report. I want to just stop real quick and tell you, if you haven't gone to HagmannStore.com, please do so. You can get K-Cups of our coffee. This is holding up Detective's Choice, hyper-caffeinated K-Cups. Comes in K-Cups, whole bean and ground, 96 hours, really. Well, 3 days. We try 3 days, 4 days, depending on where you're at in the United States, to get you the coffee. It's that fresh. You open your mailbox and, just suck in the aroma of fresh. Can you smell it right now? The fresh ground beans or the fresh roasted beans? Can you smell it? I can. Oh, there it is, Detective's Choice. HagmannStore.com. HagmannStore.com. And read carefully. This is a dark roasted coffee, Hagmann, or the Detective's Choice. And of course, other flavors there to suit your palate. That's HagmanStore.com. And also, while I'm at it, I just want to give a shout out to... Oh, yes. Yes, yes.
I think we're going to add some tea soon.
Are you kidding me?
Yeah.
You've been out there picking tea leaves?
Yep.
Oh, man.
I've been busy.
You've been busy. All right. So, tea's coming up. That's great, great news. I didn't even know that. See, Eric goes out and picks the beans. I go
We've
out.
We've had a lot of requests.
Have you?
Yes.
Have we?
And Renee loves tea, so.
Oh, man. No, shit. Weakling. God bless her. I don't drink tea. I'm not, you know, I drink coffee. It's my coffee. I drink coffee. All right. I'm going to give a shout out to, thanks, Eric. I'm going to give a shout out to Wisconsin Christian News. Folks, if you haven't donated to Wisconsin Christian News, please do so. They, I'll tell you what, if they allow me to write for them, which they do, they need the help. I'm kidding. Of course, Wisconsin Christian News is one of the few Christian news outlets. In fact, I think it's the only one out there that gives you a paper copy of the news as well as a digital version. And they do it at a very reasonable price, yearly price. So I don't even see how they cover the costs of the paper. Go to WisconsinChristianNews.com, subscribe. Yes, get your hard copy, get your online edition as well. But also donate to them, please.
It's very affordable.
Very affordable. You know, it's amazing for the product that they put out. And I know how much work Rob puts into this, the editor puts into this. I mean, 24/7 he's working. You know, I can call him at 5 in the morning his time or 5 at night, and he's there. He's there. He's working. So, please, WisconsinChristianNews.com, very affordable. There it is, online and print, as well as the donate. Help them out. All right. I was talking about the first segment. I was talking about the spiritual aspect, the first part, the spiritual aspect of what we've seen. And then, of course, getting into Black Lives Matter itself. But in mentioning Alicia Garza and Colors and so on, and the other one, you go back and get her name. But where did this framework come from, this larger framework? And Millie Weaver touches on in her expose, just a fantastic expose. She touches on what's going on down here right now. But when you go a few steps up or a few steps backwards and take a look at what we're seeing take place, we can trace all of this right back to an organization called Freedom Road Socialist Organization. Freedom Road Socialist Organization. The acronym is FRSO. It is a Marxist-Leninist organization that calls for the overthrow of capitalism. Remember, and think about this, when you defund the police, what's vulnerable aside from your person, your body, your family, your property? Well, and think about the ramifications from taking police out of a community and replacing them with, I don't know, social workers on steroids. I don't know what they would replace them with. What would happen? You'd have the takeover by the gangs and by the organized crime syndicates and by terrorists even. So you would have people fleeing those communities, perhaps with nothing, you know, without the ability to afford a suburban kind of residence. So, but hold that thought, because the abolishment of private property is key in this whole formula. I didn't make my case very well there, but if you think it through, you can see where that would be an issue. All right. But FRSO, the Freedom Road Socialist Organizations, they view America as a racist nation. It's been around since 1985. This organization was founded in 1985 as a revolutionary socialist and Marxist-Leninist entity that's rooted primarily in what? In the labor movement, the black struggle, the gate. Now, again, this is where dots connect and bells should be ringing and fireworks and Roman candles should be going off. The black community, the struggle of the blacks, and equally important, the struggle of the homosexual community and their movements. What did we see in response to the presidential or President Trump being elected. Remember the pink hats? Okay, the pink hats. The backing by the by GLAAD and other organizations.
It's been a while since you've worn your pink hat.
You know, I have to get it out. I think it might be still be at the cleaners. you want to see me wear that vagina hat? Mangina hat? Yeah.
That's the one with the kitty cat ears?
Yeah. Yeah, that's... Doesn't look like anything I... Never mind.
Meow. But,
you know, meow, right.
Want some meow mix with that?
I was talking to Steve Quayle off air. By the way, Steve's going to be on Thursday. And I said, you know, I found a word in the dictionary. You don't have to use meow mix anymore. And so hang on, I wrote it down here. You got to hear this. So I thought I was really, you know, ahead of the game. I want to get this word right because it's, I don't know. Hang on. Yeah. It was about 17 conversations ago. Where'd it go? Do you remember that word? It was pusillanimous?
I don't know.
Sorry about that. That's snort. Pusillanimous. Pusillanimous. I said, yeah. I said, instead of meow mix, have mangina mix. And there's a word, an actual word in the dictionary, pusillanimous, which suggests what you're, or means what you're suggesting. So, yeah. All right.
Anyways.
Yeah. How'd I get off on? It was my hat.
I took you off.
It was my hat. Right. All right. So.
I just know you're so proud of it.
Every time I put that hat on, lady growls. Lady's more of a man than that hat represents. But anyway.
You've got a matching tie and pin, right?
Yeah. and matching tie, pin, and pocket square, which, oh, ever so important.
I'll get you the jacket.
You give me the jacket? That's right. all right, getting back to this, and thank you for your patience, folks. Freedom Road Socialist Organization is behind a lot of this. Again, this is founded back in 1985. And what Millie Weaver uncovered is the current, 5.0 of the FRSO. And I'm going to be getting that in a second. But this is the introduction of the practical introduction from this organization of the Marxist-Leninist movement to adopt and facilitate the Black Lives Matter, which wasn't in existence in 85. Black Lives Matter has only been around since 2013, but this could be said to be a precursor thereof, to infuse ideology into these organizations. And at the same time, and Coach Dave Dobmeier talks about this as well and recognizes this as well, the homosexual movement, the homosexual struggles, the inequality. What do you think is pushing this mangina hat, you know, the pink hat and the mangina movement and the fact that the 20,000 pronouns and whatever it might be? What's pushing this? It's the Marxist ideology. Well, people say that, but they don't understand. Oh, wait a second. You say that, but where's the proof? Well, here it is right here, because it's part of this organization, Freedom Road Socialist Organization's charter to do exactly what you've seen take place since Donald Trump has become president, and even prior to that, but since he's become president. And don't forget the Obergefell decision. Many of the amicus curiae briefs were filed by organizations such as this, for example. So, and I'm just going to continue very quickly here. This group began out of a merger between the Proletarian Unity League and the Revolutionary Workers' Headquarters, okay, and the New Communist Movement, which was inspired by Chairman Mao. China, anyone? The name is derived from a term that was used in the South, in the pre-war South, by the way. and were opponents of black slavery, or opponents of slavery, commonly referred to the Underground Railroad as the Freedom Road. And the development of this organization was, ultimately it was shaped by subsequent mergers of different groups, including Organization for Revolutionary Unity that happened in 86. And the, Paul Robeson Collective back in 1989. I'm not going to get too deep into all of those, but this group supported people like Jesse Jackson and, of course, adherents like Al Sharpton. If you think about a member in – a black member, the Congressional Black Caucus, it's deeply embedded with this Marxist-Leninist movement. Now, in 1994, it's still known as the FRSO, but in 1994, that group merged with the Socialist Organizing Network. Now, the Socialist Organizing Network goes back to a global network that whose interest was in the oppression of the blacks all across the world, or minorities all across the world. And it had a lot to do with labor. Okay, so a few years later, back just right before the turn of the century, this FRSO split into two different groups, FRSO/Fight Back and FRSO Organización Socialista del Camino para la Libertad. What in the world does that mean? Okay, let me just tell you, it's two groups, one more active politically, or one more active, yeah, one more active in the political realm, one more active on the ground as more like a fight against, like a street fight, if you will. That's the latter of the two. But they revere, obviously, most highly the primary ideology of the of Marx and Lenin, Marx, Engels, Lenin, Stalin, and Mao. That's where all of this is coming from. And they view America as we cannot be redeemed. We are so racist that there's no way that we can be redeemed. You can see how this unwavering ideology is propelling this hatred today. All right. So now they say they're not religious. That's, to me, when I was looking at this, which is why I played the first segment, they are, from my research, I would say they are religious, they are spiritual, and instead of being atheistic and non-religious, they're more religious. Their God, small g, is that of hell, okay, of Satan, of the demonic, which is why you see this surge into this Santeria, this voodoo, witches, covens, and this is why you've seen an uptick in all of this since Donald Trump became president, because he's standing in the way of them and us. All right, very quickly, I want to get to, I could go on this, but you can see where this is kind of, how this has developed, and where this all came from, at least this iteration, all came from the Weather Underground as part of a larger series of groups back in the 1960s. What Weather Underground is to these groups today, or this group of misfits you see today, would be like a university professor to a student. Maybe, or to a graduate. I'll just say that. A university professor to a graduate. Now, these people are taking over. But the roots, indeed, go back to Bill Ayers, Bernadine Dorn, Weather Underground, and so on, and others, other groups like that, which, by the way, picked up a lot of steam post-Vietnam, the Vietnam War, but again, and during and post-Vietnam War, but I digress. And you, by the way, you can go back and look at some of the issues that we are facing back in the 60s and then the 70s with the firebombings and such, and you can see this common golden thread through today. So what you saw back in, I'll say, 67, 68, 69, and into the 70s, you're going to see, if you take that if you were able to form a timeline and then cut that period out, you can move that timeline over to the present, but you'd have to really inflate and hyperinflate that specific timeline, because what you're going to see from – you're not going to see just the normal bombings, the normal riots, the normal looting that you saw, the normal cities burning back in 67, 68, 69, whenever the apex was, or the height was. You're going to see something much worse, and an assault against all of us in the middle class. This is as much a class war as it is a race war. It's, again, the middle class. And by the way, you can kneel, you can lay on your face, you can apologize, you could say, I'll wash your car, you know, whatever. It will not be good enough, because they don't care about that. Your subjugation is nothing more than a method of your humiliation, because it is their goal to humiliate you, to nullify you, and to kill you. That's their goal. They don't want you. They don't want us around. So it's not just about subjugation. It's about complete eradication. Oh, some might end up in what they will form as re-education camps. But don't look for a lot of graduates from those. All right, Millie Weaver, here it is. Go ahead and play when you're ready.
The breakout of riots in Minneapolis, Minnesota was a powder keg long in the making. The evidence for pre-planning and setting up a situation for a disaster is overwhelming. What you are about to see is part of a two-year undercover investigation into the leftist radicalization embedded within the climate justice movements, one in particular, the Sunrise Movement.
These like escalations, these actions can be really, really dangerous. Uprisings, including actions like burning buildings, are legitimate and powerful forms of resistance.
I'm just going to pause you one second here, if you don't mind. Is there any way to go back several frames to that one page? And then I'm going to shut up and let this play for the majority of the time. Is there any way? I keep going to, keep going a little more. Keep going to the next frame. Almost. Folks, bear with me. I'm going to make a point. The Sunrise Movement is an offshoot of everything I just spoke of. But it's – okay, stop right there. But it's also autonomous, if that makes sense. All right. Look at this. For those people who are listening by way of radio – I'm going to read this, but this is so critically important. I don't want to say Millie glossed over this, because it is addressed later and differently, but what does that say when doing escalation? Pay attention to who is participating in it. Okay. That's the headline, but look at that second paragraph. Racism is real. Patriarchy is real. Homophobia is real. Transphobia is real. And understanding that is critical to our movements. Okay. And here is, I was talking about this earlier. Is this Black Lives Matter? Is this about racial inequality? What is this about? No. Oh no, this is the entire enchilada, at least this aspect here. I've been called a misogynist on paper. A misogynist. Steve Quayle, too. A misogynist. We're misogynists. How dare us be misogynists? Now, hold that. Are you kidding me? Seriously? But here it is right here. Embedded in their literature. Here it is. This is the combination of every ism out there. Homophobia. You talk about a guy using a woman's bathroom. They're on you. The entire movement is on you. You talk about transgenderism and how it shouldn't be and how it's just not natural. You got them to contend with. And it goes on and on and on. So pay attention to what you're seeing and what you're reading. Go ahead and thank you for your indulgence, folks. I just wanted to show that and stress that. Go ahead.
Dangerous uprisings, including actions like burning buildings, are legitimate and powerful forms of resistance.
So last night, when that police station went up in flames, me and my girlfriend, we poured shots. We were happy.
This moment in history is a coin toss between freedom and fascism.
In this first video, we are going to show you how the Sunrise Movement played an instrumental role in carrying out mayhem in the name of bringing about the Green New Deal. We have sources within these groups to get to the bottom of where all of this leftist radicalization is coming from and what their end game is.
And any politician must back a Green New Deal or make way for the leadership who will.
We have their plans, manuals, intercepted communications, and have recordings of their Zoom chats. The reason why the screens of these people in the Zoom are blurred is because they are minors. What we didn't expect to find were organizers radicalizing middle school and high school aged children, teaching them military tactics and preparation for high risk actions. Some of these tactics include escalation provocation techniques, blocking freeway traffic, and how to get arrested, bogging down law enforcement in the name of destroying capitalism to make way for their Green New Deal.
Why be in school if we're not going to have a teacher?
What some parents may have thought were innocent youth organizations, genuinely fostered and ran by children, are actually monolithic structures with private intelligence military contractors and foreign interests influencing children to carry out their subversive objectives. Behind the Sunrise Movement is an organization called Momentum.
Just some quick things to keep in mind is that when we escalate, our target is always the public. So even if we're like targeting like a senator or like another decision maker, escalation should be a response, not a reaction to like what's going
on.
Like
that upward inflection.
And I think again, like just what that means is like your escalation should be like deeply grounded in your movement's DNA. It should be deeply grounded in your strategy, not just like a knee-jerk sort of like bottlenecked reaction.
Instead of studying in a classroom, we're building an army of young people across the country, starting right now.
Ring any bells? Obama's army.
By the time the election arrives.
They are calling on children to help escalate the mayhem.
These like escalations, these actions can be really, really dangerous for a lot of folks. There's a lot of, especially I think with escalated actions, often like police are involved, or there's like, it could be nasty onlookers, or like, yeah, like you're doing an action in DC and there's a bunch of like really evil, like MAGA teens over in the corner.
Notice they want privileged white suburban children to be on the front lines of the risk actions.
A really important thing to think about as Sunrise, which is like right now a predominantly white and like predominantly like middle, upper middle, like managerial class movement.
Every one of us has a lot of work to do to end these systems, and the more privilege we have in relationship to blackness, the more responsibility we have to fight to end these systems.
Organizers of these youth non-government organizations, or youngos, embellish white supremacy as a systemic problem, hyper-focusing on statistically rare instances of racial inequality and injustice, while ignoring great strides of progress the United States has made over the past century towards equal opportunity and criminal justice reform.
Do you think that race plays a part in wealth distribution, or either a mindset that you can't
today?
Or cannot?
Yeah. No.
No.
Hey, you and I, we're proof. Why would race have anything to do with it?
A lot of white kids love rap.
Yes.
Explain that. What does that say to you? What's the message of it? What's the bigger picture of it?
I thought that was clearly a message that there was no such thing as racism.
To anyone who believes that America is institutionally racist, I'll challenge you to do this. Go into communities and deal with problems by examining the roots of those problems. Education, a family structure, the growth of liberalism to a point of progressivism beyond any imagined course.
What's your thought on Black Lives Matter?
Don't come at me with that dumb, man.
President Trump has done a lot that positively affected the Black community, but you won't ever hear the mainstream media talking about that.
Not all people who are locked up are individuals who don't deserve a second chance. And so this is about second chances and giving people opportunity.
The White House is championing a criminal justice reform bill that would, among other things, implement sentencing reforms, create programs to help inmates thrive on the outside, and grant early release for completion of those programs.
This council will coordinate efforts across the entire federal government to deliver jobs, investment, and growth to the communities that need it the most.
The Green New Deal is not about climate change. It's about climate justice. Essentially, they're blaming climate change on white people.
We won't have a Green New Deal that works for everyone unless we concurrently address the sickness that lies in the soul of America in things like white supremacy.
The events that erupted in Minneapolis, Minnesota, were not a spontaneous reaction to the murder of George Floyd. These were well-planned events, anticipating some perfect trigger points to bring about the new normal, a world without police, without borders, without industry, without wealth, without private property, without an economy. A world based on communist ideals embedded within the Green New Deal.
Organizers on the ground need money right now. We gotta move that money to our comrades.
However, in order to normalize policies set forth by the Green New Deal, crises have to be capitalized on to further their agenda while destroying the great accomplishments of civil rights movements of the past.
The facts show that 50 years of epic civil rights battles for specific rights, and after three decades of changing social and political realities, a once oppressed people are no longer that.
The breakout of riots in Minneapolis, Minnesota was a powder keg long in the making. From abusive police training, utilizing warrior and fear-driven tactics, to key radical players and organizations put in place.
And it's khakis and a white shirt covered in swastikas, goes up in flames.
Thousands of people here, and the police don't really have it separated between the people pro-Trump, the people against Trump.
This is Minneapolis, Minnesota.
What led up to George Floyd's death was avoidable and unnecessary. The evidence for pre-planning and setting up a situation for a disaster is overwhelming. The goal was to kick off a national and international revolution of the likes the world has never seen, based off preventable and even instigated situations, creating political capital for leftist radicalization. In 2017,
okay, I know we're getting to the top of the hour here. We can stop this. Here's what I want to know from everyone out there. All right. Did you like this hour? Did you like this segment, these segments? If so, put them in the comments on YouTube, if assuming this stays up. Put them in the comments on YouTube, or even better yet, send me an email, studio@HagmanReport.com. That's studio@HagmanReport.com. Let me know what you think of that. I want to leave you with these statistics. Back last year, there were over 10 million people arrested here in the United States, and that was in 2019. There were 1,004 law enforcement police-involved shootings. They involved how many shootings of black people? Anybody from the studio audience? Out of 10 million arrests in 2019 and 1,000 people fatally shot by law enforcement, how many were black? Nine. Those are statistics from the FBI Uniform Crime Report. Nine. Yet we had 89 law enforcement agents killed in the line of duty in 2019. All right. Going to be right back with Stan Dale. Again, let me know. Studio@HagmanReport.com. Studio@HagmanReport.com. If you like what you saw, if you want more of that, let me know. Going to be right back.
Reporting on what the mainstream media won't, you're listening to the Hagman and Hagman Report on the Global Star Radio Network.
And welcome back to this edition of the Hagman Report. With me is Stan Dale from standale.com. Don't forget, folks, empshield.com. That is empshield.com/Hagman. One more time, empshield.com/Hagman for $50 off your purchase. You need one. I got to tell you, you need one. And you say, well, if the entire grid is going to be out, how is that going to help me? Yeah, it's going to help you because it's going to protect your equipment because it's going to, you know, the grid, assuming it's not like this, widespread frying of everything. All right. The grid is going to be resilient in certain places. And of course, you're going to want to have the ability to come back when it comes back up. So there it is. empshield.com/Hagman. empshield.com/Hagman. Also want to just punch in there with WisconsinChristianNews.com. Please give generously. WisconsinChristianNews.com. Subscribe to WisconsinChristianNews.com. Hagman store as well for coffee, maybe soon teas. Who knows? Eric the tech surprised me on that one. HagmanStore.com for coffee. It's gourmet coffee, folks. I'm telling you right now, proceeds go to organizations, including, but especially, Rust is Dar's Shutter of the Darkness, as well as Vets for Child Rescue, two boots on the ground organizations who are out there fighting against child trafficking. I want to remind everyone, please hit the like and subscribe buttons if you're watching this on YouTube. With that, Stan Dale, how are you, sir?
A bit chilly today. Believe it or not, it was in the early 90s yesterday. Today, north of us in Colorado Springs, they're expecting a light dusting of snow. And here it was like 51 degrees this morning. So it's chilly. Things are like that.
It's June, Stan. It's going to be it's going to be tomorrow. I thought it was going to be warm tomorrow. I have to check. Usually it comes, from your direction. So, it's like 85 one day and then 55 the next or 65 the next. It's crazy.
Yeah. Snow. I know. So that's the weather. We've been facing drought here. If you look at our show images page at slide 54,
yep,
and just click on the image there, where Colorado has got drought in the southern to the the southeastern portion, really extreme drought and severe drought throughout the rest of the state. I think this is going to grow from what I'm seeing. This is the flyover states everybody talks about, you know, terrible people we are. But the thing is that a lot of food is grown in the middle of the United States in these flyover zones, and the drought, it's looking like it's spreading eastward now toward the Mississippi. We'll give it a month or so, and we'll see what happens. But I bring that up because we're fighting, you know, the heat of the sun here on our crops. Dry, it's hot, and we've got extra ultraviolet coming in. We put up our 40% shade cloth over the things, and they're starting to recover a bit. The leaves on the squash and the tomatoes. We actually got a few tomatoes now that have pollinated and germinated, so that's good. But this problem with the sun is continuing. It's just going to drive weather crazy. And no matter what they say about, you know, the sun, it's just in a cooling period. It's also in a change period, and the outer layers of the sun are thinning. And strange signals are coming out of the sun. You know, the government doesn't really understand that, you know, they or say they don't anyway. But, you know, our magnetic field is weakening. Our shields are weakening. We're getting more cosmic radiation and solar radiation in than we used to. And even the noctilucent, you know, the blue clouds that you see up at the North Pole are getting more prominent. Let me see if I've got a link to that here drought. Yeah. Yes, if you go to our homepage, standeo.com, and look at the photo of the day, number one.
Right.
Number two is a pink. Go to number one, and you'll see those noctilucent clouds, nighttime, you know, clouds that are normally up around the pole, but they've been dropping down to 49 degrees latitude, which is really weird. Why is it coming down so low? They're beautiful, but these things indicate changes in the solar radiation, the solar wind, our Earth's magnetic field, and how it interprets that into these clouds and the ionizations we see in those things. Anyway.
Okay, so yeah, I'm looking at the clouds. Okay. And I'm reading, of course.
Well, look,
yeah, I'm okay. Sorry.
They're normally up higher in the latitude. You don't see them, but this is like, you know, 40 degrees lower if than the North Pole. This is way down here.
Yeah.
You know, we're going to start seeing it. You might even be able to see it at night. I'm not sure. Anyway, it's
okay.
A sign of something wrong in the emissions from the sun that we normally get.
Understood. Okay. Thank you for that. Yeah, that just very interesting. And folks listening on the radio, it's the clouds you would normally see further north. But okay. All right. Wow.
Yeah. All right. Now, there are a number of things on our show images page today, other than this, that are of interest. Let me just see. Let's, I want to go to slide 53. You think, okay, fine. What about this Italian Flight 460 that crashed back in 1987? I was talking with Holly over the weekend and yesterday about a dream vision I had back in October of 1987, actually the 14th of October 1987, when I was in Australia and before I'd met her. She said, "Oh, you've never put that up on the website." I said, "No, I just didn't see the point in it." But yeah, she said, "Well, we ought to tell people about it." So it was a dream vision I had, very specific. I was there, and I was inside of an aircraft, a kind of a puddle jumper like this one here. And I was standing in the cockpit and looking down at the pilot. The co-pilot was behind me to my right. So I was staring at the young pilot. He had kind of blondish, you know, Norwegian type features. And his hands were on the controls of the aircraft, you know, the attitude and control, the stick. And they were squeezed so tight, his knuckles were just bright white. I could see them. And his face was panicked because he couldn't get control of the aircraft. And it was heading down in a sudden dive toward a mountain. And so I turned around and looked up behind me into the passenger portion of the plane. And walked up there just, you know, beyond the cockpit area and looked at all these people, and they were all frightened. Just, you know, they knew that something was happening. They were gripping their seat arms, and they were just mostly just quiet, just frozen. And I said, "Are any of you here believers and followers of Jesus?" Strange thing to say, but I figured, well, since they're going to crash and I'm here, I might as well, you know, give them a chance. And a few of them raised their hands, and I said, "Look, don't worry. The Lord is going to look after you." And with that, the thing impacted into the mountain, and all their seats rushed past me as it smashed into the mountain and, you know, collapsed the cabin and everything. And I woke up. Wow. I thought, gee, wow, that was weird. Next morning, I was having coffee and donuts with some of my friends, and somebody brought a newspaper over. We looked at it, and there on about page 3 or 4 was a crash, this Aerotransport Italian Flight 460. And apparently what had happened is they'd had some attitude control problems from icing, and it locked it in a steep dive, and the pilot could not bring it because the ice formed over the flaps and controls, and they were all killed. They were 34 passengers and 3 crew members who died, which you can see on that link there. I've got to the Wikipedia report about it. Now, that, what does that tell you? It tells you, well, sometimes my mind gets tied into things that are a long way away, and they're sometimes instantaneous, like happening right then or the next day, and also things that might happen a few years later, like the dream visions I had, several of them, on Lake Taupo in North Island, New Zealand, blowing up like a super volcano and killing lots of people and destroying over half of the North Island in ash and rock falls. That hasn't happened yet, but believe me, I wasn't the only one that has been having those dream visions. A number of people in New Zealand have had them as well. So anyway, I'm just keeping you up to date on, you know, where my prophecy stuff or visions come from, how they work, you know, kind of like now and just very close to now in the future and a long way away in the future. And I suppose it's the bigger events that I see in the future that are so far ahead of time because they are so important to so many people. Not that 34 people or 37 people in this aircraft weren't important, but not as much as the hundreds or thousands that would suffer, say, that Lake Taupo eruption.
Right.
Well, now, now slides 46 through 51 are dealing with the phenomenon underneath the mantle of the Earth. These are, they're plumes of magma that are pushing up into the upper mantle, toward the crust. If you look at slide 48, click on the picture, you can see a drawing here that Terrell Blackstar does on his his website. And you can see that these plumes, if you look at the left side of the picture, about halfway down, you see Hawaii. You see Hawaii has a mantle plume forming underneath it, which, you know, creates the volcanoes and creates the islands that have, you know, appeared and drifted kind of northwest from Hawaii. You can see over the maps that you see on the internet. This is an interesting thing because this plume is coming from very deep in the lower mantle, where you have glassy and metallic magma. So it's reaching all the way up. Now, there's a couple of other places at the Cobb Seamount as well. You can see in the upper left-hand corner where these things are pushing through. Earthquakes are happening on another one over on the lower right, which Terrell puts in his graph and his explanation of it. Now, you can go to his website and see the whole discussion of it by clicking on the text. That'll take you into it. Warning. Superplume is growing out of control in Earth mantle in the transition zone. And he covers a number of things in various government reports which lead him to this conclusion. All righty.
That's going to take me some time to look at, that's for sure.
Yeah, it does require a bit of study, yeah. I grant you that.
Wow.
Okay, here, let me just put that there. And make an adjustment here. Okay. Sorry, I'm trying to keep the red out of my image on your side. I can see it's creeping back in. I have no idea what's causing that. Changed the lights and everything I could, but it's just your side seems to, when it pushes it through to the internet, it pushes it with a lot of red in it. Who knows?
We're trying, Sam. We're trying.
Yeah, we're trying to over here. Okay. All right, anyway. All right, now back to the superplume growing out of control. On slide 47, you can click and look at that, which is from his video. And his real name is Terrell Croft, but he goes by Blackstar when he does his talks. And he put this message up, 5 days ago, saying it's an urgent, important message. You can click on that slide, the picture on slide 47. Yeah, there you go. And you can see his message there. I froze it so that we can see it while it's not drifting past. There are some links there to look at, which he does discuss in his video. And I think this is extremely important in that the magma, of course, has a lot of iron and nickel down inside the deep portions, and these react to the magnetic field and help create the magnetic field of the Earth. They react to the magnetic field of the sun. All these things being unstable at the moment indicate there are some big changes coming as we approach the zero magnetic field point, which is weeks, months, maybe a year or two away. I'm not sure how fast it's going to happen, but it is rapidly diminishing our magnetic field of Earth, which is, these plumes just tell us it's part of the whole change that's happening to the Earth and to the Sun, and to the Earth as a result of the Sun's changes. If you look at slide 51, click on the actual image, you'll see that these one of these sets of plumes that he's talking about comes up under Marie Byrd Land near the Ross Ice Shelf, and these areas are melting and throwing off, you know, ice and water into the ocean. So this explains why we're seeing that. It's a plume coming underneath Marie Byrd Land, and also it is heating, you know, all the ice on top of these structures there and dumping them into the ocean a lot faster than, you know, they predicted. You know, they figured that, you know, the scientists predicted this would take quite a while and it might just stop and there'd be more ice build up in the situation there. And someone's calling me and I'm just telling them to go away here. There we go. Okay. You can see in slide 50, if you click on that, that there are a number of smaller plumes associated with it, those little blue dots that are in the illustration there. You can read that article. All of these things are important to understanding the plume phenomenon and how it is affecting volcanoes and also producing earthquakes in the areas where these plumes are coming. The slide 49 shows one that there's a kind of a triangular-shaped plume there underneath the eastern coast of North Island, a part of the bay in between North and South Island, which is probably going to be what causes that Lake Taupo eruption that I talked about. All right.
Sorry, I was kind of looking at that.
Yeah.
You know, yeah. Sorry, study for, I mean, take a look at this. Go standale.com and then click on the show images page. You can follow along if you're not seeing this, if you're just listening to this. It's important to really kind of look at the images. Very interesting. I'll just leave it at that. Just take a look at the images. Wow.
Yeah. There's an article that goes with that if you click on that image. Let's see here. Interesting thing, slide 57. My son Jeff just sent me this morning. He found this in a patent discussion here. It's a patent that was granted in 2018 in December. They applied for it in 2016, and this patent has been assigned over to the United States Navy. It's a craft using an inertial mass reduction device. So it's like a microwave emitters inside of a resonant cavity inside of it. It's a triangular-shaped craft. Now, if you've been following, you know, for the last, I don't know, 20 years reports of triangular black craft appearing over places, in Australia, in 2000, they were already reporting one of these craft floating aimlessly over Victoria, Australia, this black craft across the road, and, you know, it was having troubles. Now, this patent here may not be the one that was used then, but it's certainly been granted and turned over to the United States Navy, as you can see by looking at this slide. If you click on the link instead of just the picture. Now, the picture there shows you some of that stuff, but if you click on the actual picture there, or is it this bottom one? Let me see. Bottom one. Click on the bottom one, the text, and it'll take you to the patent application. You can see what I'm talking about, where it says, the invention described here may be manufactured, used by or for the government of the United States of America for governmental purposes without payment of any royalties thereon or thereof. And that's just slightly down the screen from where you're reading under description of it. So you got to wonder, you know, if they're releasing this, allowing this patent to be published, people can see it, and the fact that the U.S. Navy has the right now then to use it to, you know, do whatever they're going to do with it. If they're releasing this now, we must be close to a point where they don't care if you know that they've got these kind of craft. Why? Well, because it's part of the technology they developed, perhaps with the help of you know, alien critters or fallen ones, back in the late 40s maybe, or the early 50s. I don't know when we started exchanging that exactly. I think it was in the early 50s, exchanging technology with them. But here we see this thing, which is probably, as I say, gosh, what is this, 40, 50 years out of date as to what technology is out there. I know our early researches, you know, in this in the 60s were plasma craft, and like the one I was designing for the, you know, the Teller project originally. But then we moved in the late 60s, early 70s into these electrogravitic things, which reduced our mass so that the craft could move rapidly and not kill the crew and do all kinds of horrible things to the instruments in the craft. Anyway, this is just a thing that's proof, you know, of the technology that I've been talking about, which, again, since, well, it'd be like 50 years ago that this stuff was being used, something similar to it.
You know, as academic and basic as this sounds, Stan, I've always wondered, I look at this patent, and you're right. I mean, the dates and such. And one of the class, in I remember being in grade school back in the, I don't know, a bunch of years ago, decades ago. And I remember watching a film strip we used to call it. Were they film strips, or when you and I were growing up? What were they, film strips, or it doesn't matter, but it was about the Industrial Revolution.
Oh, yeah. Okay, yeah.
And I'm thinking to myself, when I was a kid, I'm thinking, did we all of a sudden get like really, really intelligent? Because, I mean, think back to the birth of Jesus in that time period. In all of the years, centuries, millennia, subsequent to that time, and we'll say the 1900, you know, or 1800, 1900, I mean, things were pretty basic. And all of a sudden, this explosion of knowledge, even to the extent in 69, sending someone to the moon. Now we've got more computing power in an iPhone than they had in the lunar module. So
yeah.
I'm thinking, what's behind all of this? Did a bunch of people get really, really intelligent and work together? I mean, yeah. So
a number of people have said that they have had visitations by, beings that advise him on things. I mean, Cotton Mather in the 1800s invented the cotton gin. Well, I think even he had a visitation, or he claimed he did, was a being like a, oh, what would you call it? Like a, not a sprite, but a, what do you call the people that encourage artists, their muse? And, Tesla had it. Just a number of our leading developers of new technology over the last 200 years have mentioned the appearance of some kind of a being inspiring them, or dream visions as well. I can tell you I had the dream visions too in early 70s when I was in Australia. I would sleep and see technology, you know, like I was inside of a 3D, virtual environment. I could say, I see that saucer. How does the propulsion system work? And it would take itself apart, and I could look inside and see, and okay, you know, how does the universe work on this, you know, galactic plane or whatever? And I could see these things as well. So I'm just kind of a modern part of what has been going on for hundreds of years, I'm sure, to advance our technology. It's like we've been helped along. And I suspect that some of that is, from Satan's minions, trying to get the technology here on Earth advanced to a point where he could construct weapons and craft and various other things to make the final battle with Jesus here on Earth.
Exactly.
So, yeah.
I just marvel at the fact that in the course of really one person living a long time, like 100 over, let's say 100 years, if that one person lived 100 years, it's feasible and go from a horse and buggy as a mode of transportation to landing on the moon, to, you know, what we see now with respect to almost the technology that we see now. I mean, on, at least on the cusp of that. So it's just, what an explosion. And you're right. The spurning, I don't know what they call them either. I know what you're referring to, but I can't remember. But, wow. Yeah,
so. Well, I call it a muse. The artists have their muse that inspired them, that kind of thing. There was another word, seemed like it started with an S, but Memory fails me. that's the way it is these days. There's just so much stuff that we're having to absorb and to share with people that it's a wonder that we can remember our own names these days.
Oh, I know. Yeah, it's just the infusion of knowledge, information, and I long for the days of Huntley and Brinkley. I don't know.
Now, talk about this technology and stuff. Over the weekend, I was going back to some of my reports on this problems in Saudi Arabia, these mystery objects, you know, the keyhole objects and various other things that they blame on an older culture. The Bedouins call them the old men. And there was even the writings of Lawrence of Arabia, a mention of the Atlantis of the sands, of a city that was very advanced and buried under the sands in the Saudi Peninsula. You know, I think it's probably closer to the Persian Gulf on the southern end of it there, where the UAE is, something like the United Arab Emirates, somewhere in that area. In fact, I even think they filmed the Tatooine film strip there for Star Wars in that area. I remember the cast complained about the heat and the flies and everything, but they had nice hotel accommodations back in the city. But anyway, that's where they did it. Anyway, I was looking in that area here. If you look at slide 43 to 44, there is a formation there that I stumbled upon while looking for evidence of an older civilization, the Atlantean civilization in the Saudi Peninsula. And in slide 43, if you click on that, on the picture, you'll see a Google Earth image of this thing. It looks kind of like a volcano, but not exactly. And, you know, if you zoom in, which I did, to the center of it, you'll see what looks like a ring of stones or something right there in the center, and maybe a secondary ring around that, of something caused by something. It looked like it was hot. But what puzzled me about this was I could see, as you can see in this, signs of three sides of a pyramidal structure. And I thought, a three-sided pyramid? Who would do that? I mean, what purpose would wait a minute. So I then went to slide 44 and clicked on the picture there. I plotted the contours of that to be sure I wasn't seeing an illusion. And I saw three sides, three corners. You can see it there. I plotted every foot. There's 30 feet of plot from the outer one up to the top. And that tells us that there's something under that sand that's three-sided and basically looks like it has a pointy end and a dull end back facing us. Now, if you then go back to slide 45 and click on it, I've raised that contour up above and dropped the lines down so you can see that the center of that thing is the center of this hot, you know, eruption or whatever it formed, the magma coming out of that. Now, I'm wondering if we're looking at a craft buried there that had a meltdown of its main power supply, that might explain why we have this shape and this thing being in the aft center of a craft. This would fit in with advanced beings being here in my, hypothesis, theory. I think it's proven now anyway to me that Atlantis was all of the Saudi Peninsula and there was advanced technology. Now, this particular image, let me see if I've got any of these. I've got Google Earth.
In here, again, for the radio listeners, it just looks, well, Eric described it as the Earth, the third nipple of the Earth. Looking at this, while we're on that picture right there, I don't know if you could comment on, does it look like there's debris, rocks rolling toward the screen? I don't know how to describe that. In other words, if you would, embed a.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. You know what I'm talking about, right?
Yeah. Yeah. I can see those streams of sand that are blowing around debris around that area. You're right. I've never really put that together, but if you're looking at, image, 44, 44, you can see that debris you're talking about. And also, for those of you who can get to this image, down at the very bottom of it, I have the date of the imagery in 2014 and the actual latitude and longitude of it. So you can get to Google Earth and see it yourself. But at the bottom of your screen of that purple area, that was kind of the area of influence I saw around this craft. It is as though something flowed away like a blast, blue sand that way. And all these little black dots are, terrain or debris or something, but the sand is blown away from the center of this. Really, really kind of an interesting thing. I'd never put that together, Doug, that there was that stress away from that point there. That adds to the...
Glad I was able to contribute, however minor, to this. But
Doug, the science guy.
Yeah, Doug, the science. Road trip. I can say road trip. We got to go check this out.
Well, I've tried Discovery Channel. I even applied as a producer there to see if I could get a joint venture with some of their production teams to get in there and investigate these things. Do a ground penetrating radar over this. But if you look at the slide you had up there last, the slide 45 rather, you can see that there is this circular event there, and these debris particles around it, which the prevailing winds have pushed sand around. But it does look as though something erupted and threw debris out around a large area around there, very large area. Mm. But it's I can't think that's a natural formation to make that triangular thing so regular. It just doesn't happen in nature.
So okay, in slide the initial slide 43.
Yeah.
Pardon the scientific term, the whiteness. What's the whiteness? Is that just the reflection of the particulate matter of sand, or is that something else?
I'm not sure. It appears to be ejecta from down underneath there. It could be part of the whatever makes that triangular shape underneath the sand, and it washed down or deposited in a ring around there. You can see that light colored white.
Right.
It might be a function of the way they photograph the area, but whatever it is, it's different than the surrounding terrain. It's come from underneath. And highly reflective like that. Yeah.
It's a mystery. We have a mystery on our hands. Okay.
Slide 52. I want to get to that about Stephen King and his movie, his TV series and movie that was made from it later, the Dead Zone, where a guy named Johnny Smith, fictional character, is involved in a car wreck and it changes his brain so that he can touch people and see immediate problems that they're having or a threat or in the future, a number of years. In the series, throughout it, he has an antagonist in the role of the guy trying to take over the government of the United States and the world, a guy named fictional character named Greg Stilson, who comes from the common people. He's made his millions in real estate deals, and he's a man of the people. People really gravitate to him. He's not part of the political parties. And this is 40 years ago that Stephen King, produced this document or produced this TV series from his book. You've clicked on that, and you can see the article where he kind of predicts President Trump's rise to power with a fictional character. Now, that's just crazy to me that this guy could see that 40 years in advance. But then I realized one of the episodes called The Plague of the Dead Zone. The plague was a coronavirus breakout in 40 years ago. And even the image that they use in the movie or in the TV series looks like a coronavirus, a part of the SARS type range of viruses. Wow. What is going on? How did he predict that? How did he do the stand, which shows a virus getting out of an army facility in Washington and killing most of the people on, the United States, probably on the earth. And it's part of a satanic attempt to take over the world. This guy, Stephen King, I just don't know how he saw all these things and put them into fiction, but it's so accurate that it's crazy. And I'm thinking, okay, Sorry, go on.
In my world, I have a descriptive term for people like that, suspects. But that's just my
I think you're right.
But you know what? I know Stephen King's politics. I don't agree with anything. He might be a talented, obviously he's a talented author, but, and writer, but, aside from that, you know, I don't agree with him, but it is interesting 40 years ago. I mean, so is this predictive programming? I didn't mean to interrupt you. I really, and I'm sorry for doing that. So disregard.
That's all right.
No,
I'm not disregarding. I'm wondering about it myself because we know how Stephen King hates Trump, and so do all the rest of the left that, he's part of. I looked in the series to see what happened to the antagonist, to the guy rising to power, you know, like this in the United States. And one way, in one of the versions of the story, he commits suicide because Johnny Smith exposes him and tries to assassinate him. Now, is this, you know, the narrative they're trying to put out that people should assassinate the president? Well, Stephen King says, no, it wasn't my intention. But there it is. It's out there, you know. Don't trust this guy. He's evil. He's nice and friendly, but you know, it's an attack on President Trump and his presidency. I don't know.
It's just like Alex Jones was talking about the Twilight Zone episode, The Obsolete Man. I don't know whether you saw that episode or not. That's one of my favorite episodes of the Twilight Zone. And it's kind of parallels to what you're talking about. What's happening today, and Stephen King zeroing in on President Trump. There's a lot of weird things like that. I mean, a lot of weird things that preface current events. I mean, The Simpsons, all these programs that show the Twin Towers. You know, with this whatever that was that show. I can't remember, but yeah. I mean, okay. I got to start reading more fiction. I guess.
Well, you know, it could be coincidental. It could be intentional. I mean, there's been a plan in place for over 100 years at least by the Illuminists, the global plotters, to form a one-world government and to get the people of Earth ready to accept it and to ask for it. Have they been responsible for these little clues leaking in? How would they know about coronavirus so much, or how would they know about the Twin Towers destruction so early? It's almost like the Lord is giving us a little bit of a clue somehow through these authors that produce that kind of stuff, that these things are coming and part of the plan. If you look at the assassination of President Kennedy and, you know, go 100 years into the future, you see other similarities happening in the Lincoln thing, and you see the similarities in the Kennedy assassination with the names of the people involved. What caused that? I mean, it's just, it can't be coincidence. Somebody's got to be engineering that, and I think at a higher level than, you know, Illuminist humans, it's got to be on a much higher level.
I agree.
Go to slide 56.
Okay.
I was listening to the radio last night with Holly to the Coast to Coast AM with George Neary, and he had Jerome Corsi, but they called him Jerry. Anyway, they had him on talking about his new ebook. He says it's the most important thing he's ever put out on his podcast. And there's a link to that so you can see what he's talking about. But he talks about the plan to remove Donald Trump from the presidency and how advanced it is. And I haven't seen the ebook yet. I'm going to get it later and look at it. But basically, he says that it will mean that President Trump will be stood down for a while he's investigated, and they try to remove him from office, and that Vice President Pence will take over temporarily for him. But then Trump will be cleared from this and defeat the move to have him removed from office. I think it's it's from the Constitution, Amendment 28, Section D, I think it is, and that Trump will get back into the office and will win the election. So that's the positive side of it, but it's still disturbing to see the coordinated effort outlined there to remove President Trump from a duly elected office.
You were referencing the 25th Amendment, by the way, and that's the
25th, yeah.
And that's about his mental health, and you notice the media has been really embracing some of the tweets, especially during the riots, and saying, you know, he's unfit, it's clearly, and the media has of these talking points. So, yes, and by the way, I'll just say this. I had breakfast with Dr. Corsi at the Eric the Tech and I did at the National Press Club. And this is – read the book. That's all I got to say. You're right. The plans that are – I don't know what he said on Coast to Coast. I didn't hear it. But I don't know if these plans are going to be successful. Did he say that he thought that they would actually be successful in that process of removing him?
In the process – they will temporarily remove him from office and the vice president will take over while this is being conducted. That's what he said. Okay. As I say, I haven't read the book yet. I got it on my thing, to do today. But you know, Corsi is not the only one
right
saying this. If you look at the slide left of that 55, you see the Dan Bongino show. Well, Dan Bongino, worked with the New York Police Department for 4 years and also was, member of the White House security detail for the Secret Service. He served all the way into Barack Obama's term, but was also in George W. Bush's second term. Now, he's given a number of podcasts, and I mean a number. From late last year, I think it was, until now, there have been some that have covered the same kind of thing that Corsi's talking about the organized attack on President Trump and his presidency. They are really afraid of this guy. And even though, you know, I can find things that President Trump has done that, you know, weren't exactly what I thought the best behavior, but he's a man. And I'm looking at his politics and what happens, you know, his policies more than the man at the moment to see where it's going. And the alternative to him is such a frightful situation that you can't see anybody not voting for him. It's the destruction of America that the left wants. They're just tearing us down. There was a rumor that George W. Bush was not going to vote for Trump this time, and that was a spurious thing. Holly has it on her website. You can click on the website and see a link to it. Click a link to it. This kind of coordinated attack
that was BS.
And lie.
Yeah, that was all BS. He never said that. George, and thank you for pointing that out. I wanted to point that out earlier. That report was nothing but a manufactured report for the media, by the media, for the media, and to circulate to the American people. And that was directed at right-leaning, or Republicans, if you will, but right-leaning voters. So thank you for mentioning that and putting that up. Thank you, Holly. Appreciate that.
Yeah. I'll tell her she's over there getting some more news at the moment. But, yeah, I mean, she pointed out to me, and also there's an article she put up today on Black Lives Matter. The militants declare war on police, and they begin training fully armed militia-style peace officers to take over black communities. Can you imagine what would happen if we had, you know, the Black Lives Matter, or Antifa for that matter, you know, choosing and making their own police force with their own rules? This is bad. This is civil war in the making here. They're going to be armed and people aren't going to be, and we're not going to have police. I cannot believe we are actually seeing this move to defund the police in so many states. I mean, this is crazy. It's cutting your nose off to spite your face.
I know, and you had mentioned Dan Bongino. He played a link from I cited this interview. I can't remember. I think it was the president of Minnesota City Council saying, well, she was being interviewed by Allison Camerota, and the question was, well, who do you call? If you don't have a police force, who are you going to call? And the answer was so convoluted. Dan Bongino played it, I think, during yesterday's program. She was talking about white privilege. Your white privilege is going to find out how it feels, by not having a police force. That kind of was part of the nonsensical answer. And I thought, wow, how far gone are we? And you're right. You know, this is going to lead to this, we're already in a civil war, but I think this is going to be a hot war then, you know, I mean.
Well, you know, the hope he told us, you know, when we were down there in, gosh, 96, 97, both, I think, told Holly and I that we are going to have a civil war on so many fronts in the United States that it will just collapse us internally. It'll be black against white. It will be rich against poor. It'll be left against right. It'll be finance, you know, just Muslim against Christian, Jew, that kind of stuff. All this from the multifaceted fronts on this civil war is going to so weaken the United States that China and Russia and one Middle Eastern country that they didn't know the name of, probably Iran, could be Saudi Arabia, will jointly invade the United States and attack it and be on land and destroy most of our major cities, leaving some in the middle section of the United States untouched. And these invaders will all eventually go home and, you know, just leave America because it's been destroyed. Perhaps it's been infected in the major cities with the coronavirus type thing and a new one that they're working on, which creates kind of like sores all over your body. And the Hopi said, you know, there will be kind of a new tribe of man that we'll help to form with the Navajo and with the survivors of what happens after the invasion. And it'll be up in the Four Corners and up into Colorado region that we will form this new kind of nation or new tribe of man there. And that even fits with the alleged dream that George Washington had, the dream vision, showing that the black clouds of war would roll over the United States in the end times, and that the when it all looked like the country was doomed, that there would be an angel over kind of the Colorado area that would part the dark clouds and hold back the enemy and, I guess, send them home. But, you know, I trust what the Hopi were saying. Hold on just a second, Holly. What? Yeah.
He said that Russia and China are working together to take out.
Right. She was reminding me that what Corsi said on that thing, that Russia and China are, from his intelligence sources, which are pretty reliable, are working together, you know, to take out the United States. We are in such trouble.
You know, that reminds me, speaking of China, and this I saw, and I looked on your website. I didn't see if this was linked, and I apologize. I didn't see it, and I might have missed it, but communist Chinese propaganda, their outlets, the Chinese Communist Party, have paid U.S. newspapers some $19 million for advertising and printing. And you know, the focus 2016 was on the Russian influence of our elections, that the ostensible focus. And we know that the Russians have been meddling, but not the way they're saying. I mean, we know the meddling. Now we're seeing the Chinese $19 million in influencing public opinion. And by the way, I think $11 million to Facebook, or millions to Facebook, as an example. But yes.
You can link to that. It's on our news page. Okay. I'll put it up. It's down in the middle column about the 1, 2, 3, the fourth paragraph from the bottom. Oh, Chinese propaganda outlet has paid U.S. newspapers $19 million. So,
I miss that. I'm sorry. I really am.
Well, it's there. It's there. Well, it is there, and it's just a help. You can just click on that and go to that video and the article.
There it is. Okay, yes, I apologize. And folks, I direct you to standale.com, standale.com. By the way, while you're there, support Stan and Holly by way of Patreon. I really, really recommend that highly. A lot of great research products coming from Stan by way of the Patreon community. So support him on Patreon. That's standale.com, standale.com. There's Patreon right there for the Stan and Holly, or for Stan and Holly Deo. There it is right there. That number of patrons should be in the five digits, not three. So that's my belief, because you do a lot of great work. All right.
Well, so do you. We work together, my friend.
And we do.
And I don't know how much longer we'll all be able to do this, but all we do, we've got to try to wake up as many people as possible and save as many souls that way as possible.
Amen. You know, I kind of, to that, I kind of say, I kind of think that, that decision is going to be made for us. If we're still upright and breathing, it's not a question of, well, you know, do I really want to do this anymore? Should I stop doing it or whatever? I think that's going to be made for us. I think they're going to say, hey, you're not going to do it anymore, or, you know, something else. Just my view.
You know, I was looking on our website, on Holly's news thing, or the Hall of Shame on the right column down to almost to the bottom. Epic video rant by black woman unable to loot cell phone store because it's guarded by Arabs. And this, She claims that she's, you know, she tried to get in and loot the store to get a new phone while all the rioting was going on. And she denounced the Muslim immigrants from Morocco because they are from Morocco. And at one point, she repeatedly yells, "Burn them, Allah," as she drives by, circling around to extend the harangue to them. They're not real Africans because they're from Morocco. Holy cow. She's being badly done by because she can't loot the phone store. I don't understand this.
Yeah, that's well done for the Hall of Shame. I kind of gravitate to that section of your website. I really do. I don't know what that makes me, but I love things like that.
Oh, Holly,
you can't make it up.
Yeah, Holly comes up after she does the morning updates, and she'll tell me at lunch, this Hall of Shame thing, can you believe this? This isn't that. And it's just, it's one of those things you just shake your head at. There's several more articles there today in the Hall of Shame, but,
That's Holly's clickbait section.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah, clickbait, yeah. Yeah, it's her lead. Yeah,
I love it.
But people go there into the photo of the day and the editorials and the comics of the day quickly, and then they go to the other stuff. We watch them on the internet to see where the people go to visit. But yeah,
and Ponder of the Day, it's good stuff there too. Ponder of the Day. So again, standeo.com. That's where you need to go. I link it in the program description box, folks? You can remember that, standeo.com. But anyway, it'll be linked there. All right.
Yeah. You know, they're saying now that in the video she's got there where Tucker Carlson's talking about Black Lives Matter is now a political party. And, you know, I believe he's right. They're certainly forming into a militant, you know, political party as well. But you can see that there in the video of the week. There's second one, I think. I'm not sure. Let me just see here. I think it's the first one, Tucker Carlson. Say again? Yeah, it's number one. Yeah. Yeah. Just getting an input there from the chief. First video of the week.
I almost played that in the first hour today.
Did you?
Yeah, I almost did. But I want to get deeper into the Black Lives Matter organization as well as the propellants around that. But Black Lives Matter has only been around for 7 years. I found this very interesting. The three founders, the three female founders, by the way, and so, I mean, Black Lives Matter was created because of, or as a result of, ostensibly the Trayvon Martin situation. But the three founders, very, very, I mean, talking about Marxist, but it overlaps into the LGBTQ, XYZ, whatever it might be, agenda. And it's really become this all-encompassing umbrella. It's not about Black Lives. It's about all in perceived injustices. So it's and the witchcraft associated. By the way, I don't know whether you saw this, but witchcraft by the founder, Patrice Cullors, in addition to others, very active in BLM, very active. So just saying.
Just a quick thing before we go here. Just part of this.
We got about 4 minutes.
Oh, do we? Okay. I was going to put up an article on Space Force, but Holly got a link to the main part I was going to talk about. Netflix had a comedy they produced called Space Force years back, and they are now suing NASA or the government. I'm not sure who they're doing it, how they're doing it, but they are suing the name Space Force belongs to them under the U.S. Patent and Trademark Office. So we can't use Space Force as the name for Space Force because it violates the copyright they've already got on the name. Of course, NASA and the Air Force, they said, "We wish Netflix and the show's producers the best in their creative depiction of our nation's newest branch of the military. We're not aware that it's out of any trademark conflicts with the fictional program Space Force produced by Netflix." But I can't believe that. I mean, I suppose it's possible, and since they do have a trademark before it was announced that we had a Space Force, but kind of petty, really, isn't it? I mean, they could license the Air Force or the military to use that. I mean,
I guess, but you know what I've learned in the last 4.5, 5 years is anyone can sue anyone for anything. And you know, and I'm serious. It's not a matter of winning or losing. Winning the case, it's just a matter of inflicting a lot of damage. Imagine the settlement that could be reached. Yeah, you know what? You want us to go away? Yeah, save you a lot of legal fees. Throw me a few mil, NASA, NASA. Throw me a few mil. Yeah.
I'm going to remind people that go to a show images page all the time and probably forget the lower links there, but there's a section just underneath slide 42. It doesn't have a number. It says, view the Middle Eastern mysteries in Saudi Arabia and other countries, and it's well worth looking at some of the images I've found of things that are strange in Saudi Arabia while I was looking for, you know, proofs for Atlantis. And also on slide 35, it takes you to my high-resolution copy of the lecture about I Discovered Atlantis and the proofs of it. There's been over a million, probably a million and a quarter. It doesn't show all the other views of it, but over a million and a quarter views of this video of my lecture about Atlantis being the Saudi Peninsula. I think it is very important to what's going to be happening in the Middle East and in the world, because I think that the Antichrist is going to favor this area as the original, like, crossbreeding point where they bred with our women, you know, in the Bible in Genesis 6. So anyway, have a look at slide 35 and the pictures I took off of Google Earth.
You know, I have a confession to make in the final few minutes. I resisted your research and your findings on Atlantis. I think Stan's wrong on this. Because you know how people, Coast to Coast AM, I'm thinking back and where Atlantis, they say it was in the Atlantic toward the Caribbean or further, would be east, I guess. But I have to say, after looking at this, you know what? I think you nailed it. I really do. I don't know, but I think it makes sense to me the way you put this together. And this is why, folks, this is why Patreon, Stan and Holly Dale, Patreon, this is why. Because great stuff like this. Great job, by the way, on that. I think you nailed it. I really do.
I'm going to be making some more videos for my Patreon supporters and also for the general YouTube about this. I'm just, you know, doing it here from the office. But it explains Lemuria. It explains the thing that caused the flood, the great asteroid, it explains where the Garden of Eden was. All these things all tie together in that area, and the fact that the Earth mantle, the crust, is actually shifted upside down from where it was at the time that Atlantis was functional. The asteroid shifted the crust of the Earth. Hmm. Anyway, I'll cover it. More detail.
Well, and again, that's a reason for people to support Stan and Holly Dale on Patreon. And again, folks, go to standale.com. Click on the link to Patreon and be the first to get and only perhaps to get the investigative research material by Stan Dale. I want to thank you, Stan. I really do. What a great show. What a great segment. This was absolutely incredible. I'm still looking at that triangle there. Folks, 43, 44, 45 images. Take a look at that if you're driving when you get home and tell us what you think.
It looks like an Imperial cruiser from Star Wars, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does. Again, going from Eric the Tech's Earth's third nipple to as you drafted that. So very interesting indeed. All right, thank you, my friend. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
All right.
Lord bless you.
Wow, folks. Stan Dale, what a great mind. And I remember back in the Art Bell days. Remember? Oh, yeah. Oh, our art was, wow. I remember those days and actually conducting surveillance and listening to Art Bell. And those were the days, my friend. I mean, Stan Dale, Steve Quayle. Yeah. And actually, Art Bell and I got married, when Art got married the first time, got married at the same place. Interesting when you think about it. All right, folks. Again, let me know the first hour. Let me know what you thought of that, either by email, studio@hagmanreport.com, or in your comments on the YouTube section. And while you're at YouTube, do me a favor. Click subscribe. That's right. Why? Because it messes with their heads, actually with their algorithms and such. Click subscribe and like. God bless you. Good night.